This is an audio summary for your IP 8999 course. The reading is Forces of Change, Chapter 1 of Recreate the Organization You Really Want by John R. Latham, published in 2016. This opening chapter explains why most change initiatives stall and lays out the basic physics of organizational transformation, the forces that push and pull an organization away from the status quo, and the resistance those forces must overcome. Here is the summary. Latham opens with Newton's law of inertia. A body at rest tends to stay at rest unless acted upon by a net force. Organizations behave the same way. Research and practice both suggest that many change initiatives fail to achieve the results originally envisioned, which can make the odds look stacked against change-focused leaders. But Latham argues it does not have to be that way. Successful leaders of transformation deliberately use the forces of change to overcome the status quo and keep the organization moving toward a better future. The core model is simple. Two primary forces must together be greater than the inertia or resistance to change. The first is dissatisfaction with the status quo, which pushes the organization to change. The second is a compelling vision of a desired future, which pulls people toward change and gives the change direction. Organizations experience inertia in both states. Static organizations tend to stay the same, while dynamic organizations tend to keep changing and adapting. Organizations that already adapt continuously have an easier time and may never need a dramatic transformation. But many organizations are static, changing only when forced. The person Latham calls the organization architect, typically the leader driving redesign, must address all three components: dissatisfaction with the current situation, a compelling desired reality, and resistance to change. Consider first the pushing forces. Dissatisfaction is essential for getting people moving, but it has a critical limitation. It provides no direction. Unhappy people may not know what to do about their unhappiness. For poorly performing organizations, dissatisfaction can take the form of what John Cotter called a burning platform. When the platform is burning, you know you must jump, but you do not know which way. Successful organizations face the opposite problem. They are often too satisfied with their own performance and become arrogant and complacent. Latham cites Xerox in the 1970s as an extreme case. Its failure to respond to Japanese competition meant that by 1980, Japanese firms were selling copiers in the United States for what it cost Xerox just to make them. And Xerox's market share fell from 82% in 1976 to 41% in 1982. In some organizations, arrogance hardens into a culture where negative feedback is rejected or even punished. Latham invokes Napoleon, whose refusal to accept feedback from his leadership team contributed to the catastrophic march on Moscow and the loss of more than 380,000 lives. Dissatisfaction has several common sources. Crises are one: financial insolvency, ethical violations, discrimination claims, hostile customers. While some crises come from unforeseen external events, many result from complacency or arrogance. Leaders can respond to a crisis in three ways: cover it up and deny the problem, apply quick fixes to treat symptoms, or change the underlying systems so that both the current symptoms and future problems are addressed. The first task is always to put out the fire, but extinguishing the fire only stops the damage. The real question is how to leverage the crisis to make changes that prevent the same kind of crisis from recurring. A second source is stakeholder pressure. Latham organizes stakeholders into six major categories: the workforce, customers, investors, suppliers and partners, the community, and the natural environment. Pressure can come from any one group or several at once, sometimes directly through purchase power and social media, sometimes indirectly through governing bodies such as boards of directors, legislatures, and regulatory agencies. Results from a comprehensive scorecard covering all six stakeholder groups can also generate dissatisfaction when performance falls short of targets or of relevant comparisons. A third source is competition. An organization may temporarily survive while ignoring escalating stakeholder demands, but the situation becomes untenable when competitors are willing to meet those demands. Whole industries are being disrupted. Internet-based communication services like Skype upended telecommunications without owning traditional telecom assets. and traditional universities have added online programs in response to non-traditional, for-profit online competitors. Some leaders ignore these shifts until they become a crisis. That brings Latham to denial. He observes a paradox. High-performing organizations often appear to have more problems than low-performing ones. The explanation is that high performers recognize the problems they have, while low performers actually have more problems but are ignorant of them or in denial. If you do not recognize your problems, you cannot work on them. Denial follows a predictable emotional cycle, resembling Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally acceptance. When feedback says we are not as good as we think we are, we first deny its validity or attack the messenger, then get angry, then bargain by accepting only part of the feedback, then get depressed, and only after acceptance do we make real progress. What we are grieving is the loss of an idealized self-image. Leaders should understand this cycle, anticipate it in themselves and others, and develop healthy ways to move through it. If dissatisfaction is absent, leaders should deliberately create it before the market does it for them. Latham quotes baseball manager Casey Stengel, "If we are going to win the pennant, we have to start thinking we are not as good as we think we are." He offers 3 proven techniques for generating useful dissatisfaction. First, feedback from stakeholders, actively sought out and treated as a gift rather than a nuisance. Second, comparison of performance results against other organizations, which reveals what is possible and where you actually stand. Third, organization assessment against a model or standard, which surfaces improvement opportunities that comparison and feedback might miss. Pushing forces are only half the equation. The pulling force is the desired reality, communicated through vision and goals. A vision is a picture of the organization's ideal future state, and Latham identifies 3 content components: the products or services, meaning the value the organization will create for the world; the desired culture, expressed in values, norms, and symbols; and the people, meaning what it will be like to work there. Drawing on Belasco, he notes that successful visions meet 3 criteria. They are timeless, they are inspirational, and they provide clear guidelines for decision-making. Citing Covey, he reminds us that everything is created twice, first in the mind and then in the physical world. Vision alone is not enough either. There must be a practical plan for change. You rarely know every step of a transformation in advance, but you must know the first steps. A high-level plan with major activities, deliverables, and benefits increases motivation. Without a credible path, the tension between dissatisfaction and vision produces paralysis rather than movement. And plans require follow-up and follow-through. The supporting initiatives must appear on the agendas of regular, frequent senior management forums, with a formal management review process to keep the transformation on track. The whole package must be believable, and believability rests on 3 elements. First, alignment and integration. Stakeholder needs, strategy, action plans with resources, and performance measures must be consistent and working together. Second, sustainability. The change must create value for multiple stakeholders, because any short-changed group will undermine the effort. Third, logic. The actions must plausibly produce the results, which requires a systems perspective grounded in cause and effect relationships, such as training that improves service, which drives repeat business and revenue. Even credible plans meet resistance. People dislike change in general and impose change most of all. The most effective antidote is a collaborative approach that involves stakeholders in designing and implementing the change, reducing defensive routines while maintaining pressure. Latham closes with a diagnostic. When a change initiative stalls, one or more of the forces is at or near zero. Check the dissatisfaction, the vision, and the practical plan. For your organizational assessment work, this chapter gives you a first diagnostic lens. Before evaluating any system, ask whether the forces for change are present and credible, because no redesign will take hold without them. That is the end of the summary.